Podcasting from deep in the bowels of Coast City Comics, this is Actually Comics. Tonight we have a very special episode because we'll be joined by our friend and author, Katana Collins, who is the author of the brand new White Knight book, Harley Quinn. All right. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of Actually Comics. My name is Tristan, and I am joined tonight by my friend and guest, Katana Collins.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
It is nice to have you here. You are the author of the new Batman White Knight book, Harley Quinn.
I am. I've actually had a lot of trouble getting the title correct because it's long. It's
Batman White Knight presents colon
Harley Quinn.
Yes.
In fact, on one of my very first interviews, it was wildly embarrassing. I forget how the question came up, but somebody was like, "So you're writing," and I was supposed to fill in the blank, and I was like, "Harley." I don't even know if we had decided on a title at that point, but yeah, it was, and nice. Like there was like crickets for a second, and Sean was like, let's try that again.
I love it. So I just read it and I absolutely loved it. I thought it was great. I was a big fan of the original series and I'm really stoked about what you did with this one.
Yeah.
I know too much about it to I'm afraid to say spoilers, but
me too.
Yeah, it's very difficult to talk about a book like this without kind of spoiling something. But if you wanted to give a nutshell of what the story is without really revealing the whole plot.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, there is some stuff that I think is safe to say only because like DC as a company has already spoiled it.
So right.
Like, I think it's safe to say that or, well, and maybe we'll preface this with, if you haven't read Curse of the White Knight,
you're going to be confused.
There are spoilers. So, like, you know.
Of course.
So, pause. If you haven't read that, go read that graphic novel and then come back and listen to this.
Which is out in hardcover this week. And so you can get them together, finish Curse of the White Knight, and then start.
Read during this quarantine. So, yes, the spoiler notification has been made. And it's on you now if you...
Yes, absolutely. If you have not read Curse, this is on you for spoiling it for yourself.
For the kind of quick explanation of what this book is about or is going to be about, Harley Quinn is a single mother of twins, and they are Joker's twins. And she is now living in a world, i.e. Gotham, where Joker's dead, Joker / Jack Napier in this world, and Batman is in prison. And she, the idea for it was basically that Harley has lost someone that she loved dearly, and her very good friend now, because in this world, Bats and Harley became friends. He is now in prison, and she's kind of navigating this really new life of being a mother, and with some underlying tones of postpartum depression mixed in there, that she doesn't really know who she is without being Harley Quinn, the criminal, and now she's Harley Quinn, the mother, and she's like a lot of parents, I think. I don't think this is even gender specific, but a lot of parents who are navigating those waters. She's feeling a little lost, and then a new serial killer comes into play. And this is where DC has already revealed the serial killer, so I think it's fine for me to talk about her.
Oh, that's so stupid. Why? It's not even really revealed in the first issue who it is, so I don't know.
Well, maybe we shouldn't.
You know what? It's probably too late, but yes. But there is a serial killer in this series, and essentially you get a sort of a CSI with Harley Quinn as our lead forensic person.
Yes, as our, criminal psychologist of sorts. And the idea being that when the serial killer comes into play, there is a Is that a spoiler? This is hard.
I know. I never know how to breach this stuff, but
the FBI is brought in, and the FBI basically requests Harley's help. And there are things in the crime scene that make her believe that, you know, maybe there's some sort of Joker copycat or something. There's a lot of stuff that seems to relate to her past. Yeah. And we kind of say that it's like we were watching a lot of what's the TV show?
Mindhunter.
Yeah,
yes.
We were watching a lot of Mindhunter when this idea came into play, and we were like, God, what if Harley Quinn was Mindhunter or like the new Mindhunter? So that's sort of
that's great. I love it. One of the things I especially really enjoyed about this was just how so it feels like when Sean wrote Curse and White Knight, you could hear Sean in the book. Mm-hmm. You know, it was very him, and it had a very, I mean, for want of a better term, it had a very masculine bent. Mm-hmm. It had a lot of these things. This really feels like I can hear you writing it, and it's coming at it from an angle where it almost feels like not only did we shift where Sean's perspective was Batman, where we were literally hearing this story written by Batman in a weird way. Mm. Now we're hearing the story written by Harley Quinn. It feels like we're in a different perspective of the world, and
That's
the
really
voice has changed, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, like it's like a whole new POV in that world, which I guess it is, Doug.
It literally is, which is an interesting thing to
do. Yeah, and it didn't necessarily occur to me that would be like palpable on the page.
Yeah, it totally is.
That's
it, 100% is. And of course, the obvious boring question to ask: how weird was it to work with Sean doing something where he had creative input in something that you were working on? Because maybe comics people don't realize that you are already an established author, and that you have your own CV that is well trod.
That's correct.
You are your own person, but then you had to go in and work with this ding dong over here. And how was that?
For the most part, it was fine.
Yes, that is the answer I was looking for. Let's get into this. Let's really get down and dirty into how terrible this was.
So, you know, we had established, and this is not just in writing Harley Quinn, but kind of one of the things that we established in our marriage, and for those who don't know, we're married. Ooh. I think most people probably know that by now. But,
probably.
One of the things that we've established, and one of the ways we tend to have a very successful working marriage and, you know, relationship, is whenever we're venturing into anything new, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be creative. It doesn't have to be comics or writing. It could be if we're buying real estate, or if we're, I don't even know, like investing $2 in Chipotle, like whatever it is.
I think Chipotle
is way more than $2 in shares.
oh, literally, but, literally like, investing. I thought
whatever.
You meant literally investing
buying a franchise. Oh,
no,
buying a burrito.
Literally buying a burrito together.
Man, if we had to consult each other every time we bought a burrito. No. So the idea being, anytime that we're venturing,
anytime you have a financial concern,
together, we will establish who is like 51% owner of that.
Ooh.
And who's 49% owner of that. So, you know, obviously, like when it comes to my romance writing, I am 51% of that owner. And when it comes to plot holes, Sean is 51% owner. And this is not like in legal contract writing. This is just for our own
sanity.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like you take the other person's input very seriously. You listen to them as you would if you were in a board meeting, listening to your board members. But at the end of the day, you have the deciding vote. So before we started this, we really had to talk it out. Who has that 51% ownership?
Oh, shit. Yeah, that does.
Right? It's trickier now, like with something like this.
And who did?
It's Sean. And it makes a lot of sense to me. You know, it is his world. He started the franchise.
He has established an awful lot.
He knows the characters better, the world better than me, even though I'm also a huge fan of the animated series and everything like that. But so that was going into it made it a lot easier because, you know, at the end of the day, it is his.
Yes.
More so than mine, even if that is 2%.
But that certainly is not the... I mean, to go into something with someone where anyone else in the world who would go into something writing for someone else in their universe, like...
Yep. That would absolutely
it is such a foothold that you have mm-hmm. that no one else could have
yep.
where you're literally having breakfast with him every morning and it's like, oh, by the way, what about this? That seems like a really wonderful way to be able to get this stuff done. And also really fucking frustrating.
Well, but, yeah, it's a little bit of both, right? Like it's challenging because you, if you let yourself, you never talk anything but business. And
I know something about that.
Yeah. So it takes a lot of, it takes a lot to have to turn off your business brain at a certain time of day, or even just if things are getting like, we're each pleading our case for why a certain joke should stay in the book or whatever. Like at some point you just have to be like, all right, like, we're going to step away. And it helps that, you know, we also have an editor on top of this.
Yeah.
So if there is anything that we really come to a disagreement on that we can't resolve, at the end of the day, we have a tiebreaker built in, which is pretty great. And our editor, Maggie, is wonderful. And she's so, so good at her job. And in some ways, it's also like hearing a note from your husband might be harder to swallow than it is hearing a note from your editor.
Right. Yeah. No, I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. So how was it working with Mateo on this?
Mateo's amazing.
He's
amazing.
I noticed that he's channeling Sean in a lot of places, and it's really fun to see him almost do like his own version of Sean in this book.
Yeah, it's almost like he does kind of the nod to the Sean Murphy style while still maintaining his own art and style.
Right, like the book is basically him, and then there are certain times when it goes back in time or it references a car. Like when it references a car or it goes back to an older part that occurred during Curse or the original White Knight, then you see this sort of very Sean thing come out of his artwork that's really fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's that? Oh, what is Sean telling you?
He's telling me.
Oh, great. Hold on one second. Yeah, if you didn't notice, Sean just left, so we had to pause to relock the door so the place wouldn't fill up with crazy people.
Yes, which sometimes happens here in Portland.
It happens regardless whether you're doing this or not.
Yeah.
So, yes. Now I've lost my train of thought entirely.
We were talking about Mateo's art.
Yes.
He's also doing them all as like ink washes. I think I'm not an artist.
This is art. This is like physical art.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
It's not digital.
No. This is not digital. Not that there's anything wrong with digital. Obviously, digital art is also gorgeous. But he is, I believe, it's watercolor maybe or ink wash. Again,
yeah, Sean literally was like, "Hey, make sure you mention how cool the thing
the art is." Well, the art is amazing, but
it's like, Sean, what the fuck did you say? As you
because I don't have a brain for art. Like it's really I can tell when something is incredible, but that's where my knowledge ends. You know,
absolutely.
Like, this is amazing, or like I can tell that it has such a Don Bluth style to it.
It does.
Doesn't it?
It does.
Especially with him drawing the hyenas
Yeah, you got lucky with that. Was that an intentional thing, the Don Bluth thing?
It's not something that I asked for.
That's so funny. Because it is there.
It is so there. And it's amazing.
Oh my God, they're so good. and so... You have some stuff in here that is, I don't know how to say it. I mean, obviously you got on the black label for this, so you're allowed to get like, I don't know, you're allowed to say shit once and like something else.
Yeah.
And you got to get one dirty joke in. So
uh-huh.
one dirty joke and one one swear word.
Which that dirty joke was originally a lot dirtier. I don't even remember what the first version of that joke was.
Oh, shit. I want to know what that was.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up in, like, draft number one from months and months and months ago. But it was a lot dirtier. And I remember I didn't even... I don't think I even submitted it. I think that it was like Sean read through one draft and he was like, You're not gonna get away with this. And I was like, really? And again, I come from a world of romance where like you get away with a lot of romance.
You get away with
it's
a lot
steamy.
Of stuff. but yeah, that joke, I was like, okay, so this is where we're going here. I did not expect to see something that risque in this.
Oh.
I thought that was pretty great.
Thanks.
Yeah, good job. Yeah. Good job getting away with that.
Well, and originally, so the funny thing is, I think because then when I had to cut the first version of that joke, I had written, I think I say batshit crazy.
Yes.
Which is a play on words because she's talking to Batman.
Yeah.
And I originally wrote it because I had already got censored a little bit. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll say bat trash. Like, and she said bat trash crazy, not bat shit. And for that one, Sean was like, no, you can say shit. And I was like, well, I don't understand. I can't keep up.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I love it. And of course, those who know you and know Sean know that you both have ridiculous over-the-top senses of humor things like this. And, you know, I would be remiss because we were just hanging out last night. if you don't know, we're good friends.
Yes.
and we are probably, I guess you could technically say we're podding together, the Murphys and the Gouliers, as we portmanteau our last names sometimes.
our last names are not so good when they smush together, mine and Sean's.
No, that's not great.
It's very funny when we smush them together.
yeah. So do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, it's a good non sequitur.
Do we want to go into that? Okay.
Or let's, a segue into that.
All right. So Katana Collins is, of course, your
my pseudonym.
Your pseudonym.
My non-diplume, if you will. Yes.
You are. But I think the thing that everyone says, and I think it needs kind of be addressed in this climate because it is a funny, it's a thing that you're like, Katana, what are you trying to pull with this Asian name?
Which happened in romance too when I first started in romance. And the interesting thing about that is Katana is my real name.
Like, yes, that's the part that you did not make up.
That's the real part. I made up Collins.
Yeah.
And I originally, you know, when I first started writing, God, it's like back in 2012, I think I wrote my first book. I really struggled with whether or not to create the pseudonym. And ultimately, I decided yes, because at the time I was working with a lot of children. I was a photographer. I worked in preschools. I worked in hospitals. And like I would photograph in the NICU. And I just had a lot of dealings with like very young children and parents. And it felt natural to try to keep these two worlds separate.
Yes.
You know, now fast forward a few years and I'm writing full time and not photographing. Now I'm like, well, damn, I really wish I had just used my name. But, you know, everything in perspective. And so now I still write as Katana Collins. But as I'm sure anyone listening to this has also heard in other interviews, many, many people refer to me by my real name all the time. Especially, I think, Sean, excuse me, has a hard time because I'm his wife. He knows me more so as my real name than as Katana. Although we do call each other by our last names a lot. So
you sure do. You've got a real bro-y relationship going on between the two of you. Speaking of which, you know what that's a segue to, and you know where I'm going with this.
Yes.
Because we just talked about this. Sean was like, you have to bring that up. And I was like, yes, you know what? I totally do. because last night we were talking about you guys going to yoga together.
Aw, isn't that adorable? Adorable. That
how adorable the two of you guys.
Obviously, not, no one's going to yoga right now, but like pre-COVID, we would go to yoga together. Yeah,
yes.
And it seems so sweet in theory, right?
It does, doesn't it? And tell me, what's it like to be in yoga with Sean?
Mm. Oh, it's a lot of fart noises. During this beautiful meditative practice. Not real farts for the record, but just like will be, you know, in a pose, and he'll just, like, very quietly, like, he really only wants me to hear it. He'll just, with, you know, with his mouth, he'll go like, or like, we'll be in down dog, and then he'll go like, and so he's been banned. He can't, he is no longer allowed to come with me to yoga because.
Banned by the teacher? Please tell me it's
not. No, banned by me because I will laugh like a 13-year-old kid.
Yes, you will.
At a fart joke. And so I will start laughing like a maniac, and everyone else is looking around at the crazy girl laughing in the back. And meanwhile, he's like, oh, isn't she? Oh my gosh. Like, she's just the worst. We're really trying to meditate here. Like, I hate you.
Oh, Murphy. My God. Oh, it's the best. That's, yeah. That is maybe, to me, if someone asked me to sum Sean up in one story, I think that is it. I think literally him going to a yoga class with you and making fart noises to try and crack you up while you're trying to meditate. I think that is about as Sean as it gets.
Yeah, that is definitively Sean Murphy.
Oh, that's great. So you've been in Portland for a while.
Mm-hmm.
How are you liking it? How are you? I mean, obviously now there's nothing to like about anything.
Well, that would be anywhere.
Let's just forget about current horror. And, yeah. You know, how are you enjoying Portland other than that?
I really love it here. And, you know, we had loved it when we had just visited Portland. We had bought a house up here because we couldn't afford to buy when we lived in New York. And we wanted to own something. So we bought this vacation house up here, and we just found ourselves spending more and more time at the vacation house and less time in Brooklyn. And one day Sean kind of looked at me and he was like, why are we still in Brooklyn? Like, why are we spending so much rent when we spent 8 months out of last year in Maine? And it was a good point. And I wasn't sold yet on the idea of leaving New York. I felt like New York was very much in my blood. Yeah. And but we gave it a try and we moved up here, and kind of the thought was like, well, we'll move up here for a little while and we'll save some money, and, you know, maybe after a couple years of saving money we could afford to buy something in New York or even outside of New York. Like, you know, we looked in like White Plains and Sleepy Hollow, and
oh man,
I
just,
know,
just cuz, I mean,
it was Sleepy Hollow was hella cool, as you can imagine.
Yeah, that just seems, I mean, there's just some sort of cachet to be,
yeah,
in there. Come on.
But the taxes were insane. Like, there was no way we could afford
those
taxes.
That's so weird.
I'm talking like $30,000 a year taxes.
What the what?
Anyway, boo. I digress. So
so you bought a haunted house.
We bought a haunted house in Portland. And then the more we stayed and looked in New York, like, we would travel to New York to try to find a house, and it felt not right. It felt right being in Portland. So I really love it. I love it more than I thought I would. I do miss New York at times. I miss the culture and I miss the people. And but, you know, that's,
but
it's
the
just
dogs.
A,
the dogs,
oh,
love
but
it.
But my
here.
Dogs are so happy.
You
here.
Have such a nice yard
have
for
a
dogs.
Huge yard. They can chase all the squirrels.
They really can. They can, yeah, bark at all of the passersby.
Ugh, and do they ever?
Yeah.
Our poor neighbors.
They
I feel
hate
so
those
bad.
Passersby
I
so
know.
Much.
Oh my God. I feel so. I'm always like, I'm sorry. They're really friendly. I swear. You would never know from their yapping, but.
Oh, so sweet. But so you do have a haunted house, and we have yet to prove this to you, but we will eventually.
Yeah.
Yes.
The current house.
The current house that you live in.
Because the previous house was also quite haunted.
Yes. But this is the one that I want to prove is haunted. And we have been trying to convince you of its hauntedness ever since you brought the creepy Victorian era photo album home,
yep,
into your living room.
Yep, that velvet brocade photo album from like 18 something. I don't,
yes,
even, it's old. It's like older than the house, I think. Yeah, and it depends who you ask. If you ask Sean, who doesn't believe in ghosts, he rolls his eyes and he's like, it's an old house. The wiring's faulty. Like, it's just going to burn down. It's not a ghost.
It's literally way more dangerous than a ghost could possibly be.
So true. But, you know, there have been some, like, weird things that have happened in that old house.
Yes. I remember a few.
Yeah.
I keep wanting you guys to have a spectral investigation in that place.
Well, a friend of ours has said he might do it for us, so.
You should get Ross over there.
Yeah.
Have him bring a whole bunch of EMF things and see if you've got a ghost.
Part of me that was like, oh, I don't know if I want confirmation.
No.
That sounds terrible to know for sure who your ghost is. And
of course you don't want that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But back to this awesome
book.
Right.
Oh, Harley Quinn.
Yeah, we should talk about the Harley Quinn.
Yes.
So your numbers are awesome. We have already found out what your numbers are for this, and you are doing wonderfully.
Yeah.
You must be pretty excited about that.
Yeah, that was very exciting and very much a relief. You know, especially in this climate.
Who knows what could happen at this point.
Yeah, and a testament to how wonderful these comic readers are and how, you know, dedicated and just in love with the world and the characters that they are. So thank you to everyone out there who's going out and buying it, too.
It's very exciting. And is there anything... I know a couple of the spoilers for the remainder of this book, and I don't want to obviously ruin anything.
Yeah.
Where do you think are you thinking that this is going to go on past your, this is a four issue mini?
Six.
A six issue, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Six issue mini.
Yep.
Where do you think you're going to go? Do you think you're going to continue to do anything? Do you want to do stuff in comics? Or was this just kind of a one-off venture into comics?
No, I definitely want to do stuff in comics. I did write Cafe Racer with Sean way back in the day. So I've had a little dabblings here and there. I love the format. It was a little bit challenging at first just because it's almost like shifting. It is shifting gears from prose into a comics format. It's like writing a screenplay more so.
Yes.
Like directing a movie in ways. It's very, a very different part of my brain that I think takes a lot of practice to refine. So I'm hopeful that I'll just get better at it.
Yeah. I know that Sean probably had a lot of, Sean helped me out a lot on my script, which was very nice of him as well. But one of the things that I noticed with working with Sean in this respect is that because he has had a long career of dealing with 17 different people telling him how to do things, he has very, like, these are my pet peeves.
Yes.
Do not do this to your artist.
Yeah.
Do not say this. Do not tell him camera angle or I will. If you say camera angle one time, I'm going to bite your head off. And it's like, I was like, okay, no camera angles. Got it.
And I also, you know, I think it's interesting because those are Sean's specific pet peeves.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also, and I've only ever worked with a couple artists, so I don't know. But I would imagine that's the kind of thing you could just talk to your artist about, right?
Exactly.
Like, hey, is this a pet peeve? Are you going to want to slice my head off? Like,
right. And that's when I talked to Christian. I was like, hey, is this a problem? And he's like, no, just tell me. And then I'll decide if I like it or not. And if I don't, then I'll just do something else.
Yeah, exactly.
You've only done this. And so I'm going to be the one to tell you what's right. And I'm like, perfect. Thumbs up.
And I think as a writer that, you know, you probably experience this too, where it's like, as long as you're not so invested in the image in your head that you can't let them create, you know, I think that is something probably every writer who's not an artist, or even maybe if you are an artist that has a different artist on your book, you might struggle with this too, where it's like everyone has a picture in their head of what their scene is going to look like. It's never going to look like what's in your head. In fact, it's probably going to be 10 times better.
Because I'm a shitty artist.
Right, me too.
I know how bad my art looks, and I know that I can't even conceive of things that these people are doing. So, totally.
So as long as you can kind of let go of the preconceived notion of what you think it might look like and just let them do what they're really good at, I don't tend to have a problem. And you know, I had talked to Mateo kind of at the start of everything, and I try to give him a lot of freedom in my writing as well. In fact, and this is something I've talked about before, where I have my strengths in writing, which I think are dialogue and prose type of things. The fight scenes are something that are challenging to me. Writing a fight scene, I'm like, I don't know. He kicks her. Like, she kicks him back. And so, like, that was a real challenge, is like trying to figure out how to write something like that when I'm not used to that.
I love it. Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah. And one of the things, there were some fight scenes that I actually wrote. And then there were some that I had asked Mateo specifically, like, hey, do you want some freedom to draw something really cool in a fight scene? And there, we kind of like ebbed and flowed on that, where he took some of the fight scenes himself. And basically I was just like, okay, just by panel, whatever, 7, they need to be in this position. Like,
awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So we kind of had that give and take.
That's so great. Well, like I said, this book is absolutely phenomenal. I'm really, really looking forward to the rest of it. Congratulations.
Thanks.
You did great.
Thanks,
I'm really happy. And honestly, I do want to say something else. It blows my mind, because I never thought that I would find anything of this ilk interesting, but I do very much enjoy your books as well. Went in and read one of your one of the slices, whatever you call that. You did a thing that was in pieces,
Like a serialization.
It was one chunk of your serialized book, and I was like, wow, this is impressively good.
Thanks.
So so yes, if
even though romance novels not really your thing, I imagine you don't have a stack of Harlequins next to your bed.
Not my thing at all. And also, how the hell did we not do a Harlequin romance variant for the shop? Why am I such an idiot?
I know. You mentioned that like a week ago, and I was like, oh my God, a Harlequin cover from a romance novelist.
It just smacked me in the head, and I was like, oh, I feel like a moron.
Maybe there's time.
There might
I don't
be.
Know.
You know, maybe we could do something like that anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it still might be fun to have one for a later issue or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe we do a shop variant for the trade paperback or something.
Oh, do they do that?
Yeah,
for the trades?
I mean, I don't know if DC is still doing that kind of stuff, but back in the day they did.
Huh.
But you have to order a whole lot of them.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
Find out.
Well, we'll look into it.
Yeah.
Because I think that'd be really fun.
That'd be really fun. So I have, is there anything you'd like to close with, or?
Not really.
You want to plug anything outside of Harley Quinn? Do you want to, is there anything?
I mean, you know, romance novels.
Yeah, please.
If you like romance novels, they're on Amazon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so you can follow us at Actually Comics and at Coast City Comics, and you are?
At Katana Collins.
Very nice. Yeah. And please, go to coastcitycomics.com and purchase things on our website, like the doubly signed Harley Quinn comics that we have here.
That's right.
From
That's why old Murphy was here interrupting the podcast, because he was signing.
Oh my God. Shit. Uh-oh. It's Sean's birthday.
It is.
Oh, son of a dingus.
But we just celebrated it.
I mean,
we had cake last night.
We had
a socially distanced cake.
Whatever. I feel bad. I should text him something. Okay. Oops. Oh, well. Anyway.
It's fine. We've been celebrating a lot. It's been a lot of Sean's celebration. He's
That's
okay.
Fair. I'm sure he's okay. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening, and thank you so much, Katana.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for having me. And definitely go on Coast City and grab your signed copies.
Yes, do that. Have a good night.
Good night.
Don't need no tea, don't need no chicory, don't need the buzz coming.